How's it going? Stephanie Rawlings Blake was sworn in as Baltimore's 49th mayor on February 4th, 2010. In November 2011, she was elected to her first full term as mayor, receiving 87% of the vote in the mayoral general election. Mayor Rawlings Blake has focused her administration on growing Baltimore's population by 10,000 families over the next decade by improving public safety and public education and by strengthening city neighborhoods. Before her time as mayor, Ms. Rawlings Blake served as the city council president. She was first elected to the city council in 1995 at the age of 25. She was the youngest person ever elected to the Baltimore City Council at that time. She represented the council's 5th district from 1995 to 2004 and the 6th district from 2004 to 2007, serving communities throughout West and Northwest Baltimore. In addition to her activities in Baltimore, Mayor Rawlings Blake serves in leadership positions in the U.S. Conference of Mayors, USCM. In 2010, she was elected by her fellow mayors to the USCM Board of Trustees. She is also a member of the Mayor's Water Council and the Criminal and Social Justice Standing Committee. As we continue our analysis of this year's theme, The Paradox of Progress, it seems pertinent to look more closely at the state of America's cities. Both Baltimore and many other cities throughout the country have dealt with shrunken population, high rates of crime, and adapting to a post-industrial American society. We have invited Mayor Rawlings Blake here tonight to elaborate on her extensive and promising efforts to not just reinvigorate Baltimore, but help put all of America's cities back on the path to security, prosperity, and growth. So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake.
Good evening, everyone. It is certainly my pleasure. They told me that the mics would be finicky, so I have to adjust them. Can you hear me a little bit? All right. Back row? All right. We're in business. So, again, where did he go? Thank you for the introduction. I appreciate it. And it is an honor for me to join you this evening to talk about the challenge of reinvigorating a great American city. Baltimore is my hometown. I don't know if that was included in the introduction, born and raised in raised in Northwest Baltimore, born in, I was born in Southwest at Sinai Hospital, and then, anyway, I digress. Baltimore is my hometown. It's interesting for me when you talk about Baltimore, if you're from here, it's like, you know, it's an east side thing, it's a west side thing, so I have roots on both sides, so I like to talk about that every once in a while. Growing up in Baltimore, I had big dreams for our city, and I've never stopped dreaming about the potential and the greatness of our city. I think all of us know that nothing worth having is easily attained, and that there will be bumps on the road and sacrifices that you have to make in order to make progress. And I think that we're here to serve and to achieve a greater purpose that for too long seemed distant and intangible, and that is growing our city. Last summer, when the city was host to the U.S. Conference of Mayors annual meeting, we held an event in Fells Point to celebrate the maritime history of our city with hundreds of guests. Baltimore is a very different city than it was in the 19th century. We're still a very active port city, but the industries that define the region at that time have changed. Many of the pillars of the early 20th century growth are gone, lost to an expanding global marketplace. In the 21st century, Baltimore is going to grow on the strength of our current pillars, the Port of Baltimore, healthcare, education, and research institutions, our tourism industry, and neighborhood small businesses. I believe that we should build on these pillars of growth by focusing on them with a renewed vigor, by investing in them with our scarce resources, as well as by saying no to those things that make us feel good, but that aren't as important to the cause. This is an exciting time for Baltimore. Over the past 2 years, we've worked hard, and with the hard work and the sacrifice of our city employees, community organizations, businesses, city and state leadership, we've made real progress on key issues that matter most to Baltimore families. Last year, our stubborn homicide count reached its lowest level since 1977. A 17% drop in homicides in the last 2 years alone. It wasn't that long ago when people said that Baltimore could never reach a homicide rate lower than 200 people. They said it wasn't achievable. I remember when I got on the city council, people that were talking about a homicide rate under 200. They were looked at with the same esteem as Newt Gingrich talking about establishing a colony, a moon colony. But we have surpassed it. And overall violent crime continues to march downward. It's down another 7% in just 2 years, and that's 679 fewer victims of violence in our city. It's not just the violence. We know that just one homicide is too many, and I don't care if it's in Baltimore or anywhere in the country. And we know that none of us are made better by violent crime. But it's not just the crimes that the fact that they happen, but it's a reputation that it gives us as well as a dangerous place, and we've had that reputation for far too long. It has damaged our residents and potential residents because they perceive Baltimore as a very dangerous place. So, as we talk about the achievements that we've made over the past few years, I don't think it's a time to celebrate because we still are a city that has a challenge of violent crime, and we have to do more. We have to continue to put our foot on the gas and continue to make progress so we can still become a safer city. And we have to acknowledge the progress. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're out there patting each other on the back, but it's also a time that we have to break the cycle of cynicism that far too many Baltimoreans find ourselves in the circle of cynicism, willing to hold on to all of the negative history that we have, like it's some kind of badge of courage or badge of pride, and not acknowledge the fact that we can change and we are changing, we are becoming a different city. I know that Baltimore can become a safer city, and it's time for us Baltimoreans to start believing that and even work harder because we know the progress that we're making is real. While we're becoming a safer city, our schools are also improving. They've made tremendous progress. Our graduation rate is up again this past year, the largest year-over-year increase in a decade. The dropout rate is half what it was in 2007. In our neighborhoods, we're driving reinvestment by strengthening code enforcement in emerging markets to promote growth. And we're streamlining the sale of city-owned property to make it easier for people who want to become Baltimore City homeowners to purchase a city-owned property and move here. Additionally, we're providing targeted incentives for home buyers who invest in formerly vacant vacant properties. We've torn down more than 400 vacants over the past 2 years, and the impact of those that blight reduction is real. Hundreds of volunteers and AmeriCorps members are stepping up and working together to adopt vacant side lots, transforming them into vibrant green spaces and urban vegetable gardens through our Power in Dirt initiative. And on April the 21st, the day of the city's annual spring cleanup, Power in Dirt will be out in full force. Hundreds of volunteers, supported by private donations and city resources, will clean and reclaim 24 large vacant lots. So if you're not studying on April the 21st, you're more than welcome to get your hands dirty with us and transform some vacant lots and transform neighborhoods as well. For far too many years, these lots have laid dormant, attracting trash and criminal activity, and really, dragging neighborhoods down. You know, when you are a homeowner and you're trying very hard to maintain your property and you look out on a lot that is not kept, that, you know, people are using, as I said, for illegal dumping or illegal activity, it is discouraging. And one of the things that the Power in Dirt initiative is doing is not just transforming these lots, but it is transforming the ethos of many of these neighborhoods, that they see things are beginning to turn around. We're handing these properties over to residents who will continue to work with us to turn these properties into community spaces, urban gardens, and playgrounds for everyone to enjoy. This blight didn't happen overnight. It was caused by over 60 years of disinvestment. And just like it didn't happen overnight, we know it's not going to be fixed overnight. But with the Power in Dirt, we're certainly going to work to take back our communities block by block. So a lot of the things that I talked about, we're very proud about, but all of these things we've had to accomplish in some of the darkest of economic times. We have more work to do. I think it would be easy to say, suffering through the Great Recession, we just can't do everything that we want to do, but I think that's a cop-out. You know, in tough times, you have to figure out how to do what you know needs to be done with the limited resources that you have. I set out an ambitious goal. Even as our revenues were shrinking, I set out an ambitious goal to grow our city by 10,000 families over the next 10 years. And some have asked me, you know, how are you going to make that happen? Do you need a glossy new plan? Do you need an academic study or another task force, or a marketing gimmick? And the answer to all of those things is no. We don't need any of those things. We just need to continue to focus on and making faster progress on the fundamentals, improving schools for our young people, making our community safer for families, rebuilding our neighborhoods by tearing down vacant homes, and doing what's reasonable to cut property taxes so we can become more competitive. And finally, by making sure that government is efficient and not an obstacle, but a partner with businesses that want to create jobs. Since December, when I announced this goal to grow our city by 10,000 families, we've been overwhelmed. I've been overwhelmed by the well wishes and the great ideas from citizens across the city, I should say. It's interesting that it is an achievable, that people can wrap their minds around 10,000 families. So when I was in the Station North community, the artists there were saying that they want to grow the city by 10,000 families of artists. When I was in another community, they, you know, I spoke recently at an event for immigrants that they talked about growing the city by, 10,000 immigrant families. So I think it is a rallying cry for our city, and I'm certainly hoping to get some good ideas and new ideas from you as well. And everyone has big ideas, small ideas, anything that they think could help us achieve the goal. During every meeting I've gone to, people talk about, whether it's with business leaders or church leaders or community organization or state city officials or state officials, everyone has some great suggestions on how we can achieve that goal. I think it has sparked a renewed interest and participation in government and community engagement. I know that while there's certainly been a lot of damage done to the city by our history of violence, made popular by the HBO series The Wire, all those things being said, I think that there's far more of us in Baltimore that believe in our city and know that we can achieve our potential even in tough times by working hard. Baltimore's conversation about how we will grow is just getting started, and every day we can come together to make the tough calls and do the hard work to get Baltimore growing again. So I hope that we'll have an opportunity to talk about some of those things this evening. I want to thank you again for inviting me to speak to you about Baltimore's present as well as Baltimore's future, and I'm looking forward to taking some questions. Thank you.